Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's the climatological outlook? Let's go in depth with Iowa State climatologist Justin Glisson. So Justin, what are you thinking about as we move through August into the fall months? What's on your mind?
Well, of course, being a state climatologist, being a part of the Department of Agriculture, harvest is always on my mind when we get towards the end of August and thinking towards a meteorological fall. Also about drought conditions expanding across much of southern Iowa and some improvement in northwestern Iowa, where we've seen some higher precipitation totals over the last 14 to 30 days in part of that D3 region, that extreme drought region in the northwestern corner. So all kinds of things going on in my mind. We need rainfall, but a drier stretch getting into harvest allows us to dry down faster, allows us to get harvest done faster. So it's always a balancing act when we talk about drought or we talk about our row crops, harvest, everything that goes into that.
Well, I'm looking at some CRP land and some land that's currently being grazed by cattle, and it's just brown as brown can be.
Yeah, we've had parts of the state that haven't had measurable rainfalls since basically July 4th. Now, we have had pockets that have been pretty dry going back two and a half years when this current drought started, that have received those timely million-dollar rainfalls that have held the crop on, especially soybeans. But yes, pastures are really browning up, and producers are, second, third cutting of hay, but yeah, the CRP is a very important program. I provide precipitation data to the FSA offices, but also am cognizant of the drought indicators that would open up counties to CRP. So yeah, it's we've just been dry, and we've been stuck in a pretty dry pattern just basically over the summertime.
Well, and I should tell our listeners that because of other programming I had to do, we're talking, this interview took place so a week or so before it's airing. So maybe in that time we'll have gotten some rainfall. But I've looked at, some models for this coming week, and it doesn't look great.
If you look at the rainfall chances, we've been in a more active storm track as that thermal heat dome that was sitting over much of the middle of the United States, shifted west and east, north and south, and that would give us shots here and there of thunderstorm activity, but not widespread rainfall that we need. Now, in the growing season, in the warm season, most of our rainfall is driven by thunderstorms. So we've also had a lack of severe weather, and a lack of severe weather suggests that we don't have thunderstorms, obviously, and that's where we see drought conditions expand. So we are in a more active storm track. We have seen cooler temperatures over the last 5 to 7 days, which have been beneficial, because if you're in a dry pattern and lower probabilities of rainfall, those cooler temperatures actually cut down on moisture stress in corn and beans and livestock too, but it also tamps down on the atmospheric demand for water vapor, so we're not using up as much water vapor at the surface or from corn transpiring, for example. So again, it's a balancing act.
More in depth after this.
Continued my conversation with Iowa State climatologist Justin Glisson. You mentioned severe weather, and it just dawned on me, normally every summer and every spring I'm thinking a lot about tornadoes being in the radio business, but it seems like we've had hardly any severe weather, let alone tornadoes. Is that my imagination? Am I missing some things?
No, as always, you have the astute points. We have not seen a lot of tornadoes across the state this season. In fact, climatologically, June is the most active tornado month for the state, and we only saw two, and they were very weak. We didn't see a lot in May either. July, I think maybe one sighting. And I don't think we've had any in August. So definitely a drought when it comes to tornadoes, let alone the drought that we see on the ground. But yes, the lack of severe weather as well. We've had pockets here and there of wind and hail from more isolated storm systems. But overall, a lack of severe weather this year. Now, that's great for, humans, and that's great for not damaging crops. But we have had isolated pockets, such as last week with Deering, that had some pretty large hail, wind-driven hail that had some crop destroyed. But otherwise, yes, a lack of severe weather.
I guess I sort of, maybe I'm seeing this wrong, but you know how earthquakes, it's a lot better to have a bunch of small little earthquakes than the big one, and without, and so if you have a big one, it means that the stress is built up. Is there an analogy in weather? Are we, by not having severe weather or anything, is there stress building up in the system? Do we look for more in the more worse things in the future, or is that just a bad analogy?
No, it's not a bad analogy. That's actually, it's a thoughtful point. You know, when we talk about meteorology, we talk about the weather patterns and the thunderstorms that bring us precipitation. Now, using your analog for earthquakes, which I think is excellent, when you do see a lack of severe weather, that doesn't portend, you know, down the line or next season that we're going to see more severe weather. But what it does is it produces a feedback cycle in which you don't have thunderstorms that are bringing us rainfall regularly when we need it. You're drying out subsoil moisture profiles. You're expanding drought conditions, and this kind of produces a dry feedback. No moisture to work off of, these thunderstorms just fizzle, and you get this feedback, this continuing dry feedback. Now, if this were to persist into fall, when we switch into a larger scale atmospheric pattern that brings us wider scale rainfall events, those gentle rainfall events, and then into winter with a lower snowpack potential, you could see a lack of severe weather this season impacting the weather patterns next season and the growing season, given those drier conditions. So, yes, there are various components of the Earth's atmosphere system, and they all play a part. And, yes, there are analogs to pull out of those.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Iowa State climatologist Justin Glisson. And so what's the fall look like and then going into winter?
So if we look at the initial outlooks from the Climate Prediction Center that were just released yesterday, we're seeing a warm and dry signal persist into September. So again, this is the initial outlook. We'll have a final outlook on August 31st, and that'll hinge partially on the behavior that we see through the end of the month, whether we get wider spread precipitation, if we see cooler temperatures. We're getting into the part of the growing season when the crop is not using as much water at the surface. So we're able to start refilling those soil profiles for the next growing season. Now, if we look at meteorological fall, September, October, November, we're seeing that dry signal remain. Now, it's not as elevated as it is for September, but we're also seeing in the temperature behavior higher chances of warmer conditions. And we kind of touched on this earlier in the interview. When you see warm and dry conditions in the fall, that's good in terms of harvest. Dry down happens faster. We're able to get out in the fields and harvest. On the flip side, again, we mentioned subsoil moisture profiles. We need to replenish those. We need to refill the tank for next season. So this is a signal that we don't like to see, but this doesn't tell us that we're going to get into a very, very dry stretch. This just tells us that say, for example, we expect statewide about 3.5 inches of rainfall in September, we could be slightly below that. Now, there have been analog years in which we've seen very wet falls. And in fact, if you look climatologically at the trends that we look at, we're actually seeing wetter falls build in. So that could be good news given this drier signal that we're looking at. In terms of winter, it's, again, we're a season and a half, two seasons out, but it looks like the La Nina phase is hanging around for the third year. And we only have 2 years on record going back to 1950 when we started monitoring El Nino and La Nina to a very robust, very robustly. We only have a handful of those years, so we don't really know what to expect. Now, in classic La Nina winters, we see near normal snowfall, so that would be good for snowpack. But overall, we'll probably wait a few months before we start getting into the guessing game for winter.
I'm reading a lot about forest fires, terrible drought conditions in the West, you know, cattle having to be put down. It's just, is that creeping our way?
You know, you look at the West Coast with the mega drought that they've had. This has been a drought that we haven't seen in 1,200 years. You think of Lake Mead and the cuts of in water resources in the Colorado Basin. Those are significant and very important. You look at Europe, the rivers in Germany, the Rhine, rivers in France are at very low levels. And in fact, they're showing drought stones. So back in droughts in the 1800s and even going back hundreds to thousands of years, civilizations would put drought stones in the rivers and demarcate where they were at the most pervasive part of the drought that they were going through. So it reminds us of the history of drought. Now, is that behavior creeping towards Iowa? It's a different weather setup. It's a different topography out there. They have forests, large forests, and they're driven by different atmospheric dynamics on the West Coast. Now, of course, we can see persistent drought into the next year or the year after. That's not out of the question. But we do have a rich source of moisture from the Gulf and even from the Pacific that does supply us enough moisture to at least keep us status quo on the drought map, as we've seen over basically the last 2 or 3 weeks in parts of the state. Now, in terms of fire, yeah, we always have to think about that. Dry crop out in the field provides fuel, and we do get combine fires. So our farmers have to be cognizant of those conditions and be safe when they're out harvesting. But to the degree that we see in California and the desert Southwest, I don't think so.
I was thinking earlier when you were speaking about, you know, having to know about climatology, weather systems, et cetera, and then also agriculture. Is it unusual for climatologists to have to maintain knowledge of two vast different sets of data? Is it unusual? Because it's almost like you have two jobs. Is that common in climatology or rare?
We've chatted about this before. I'm in a unique position in terms of my colleagues across the United States. There are 47 other state climatologists, 48, I should say. Massachusetts does not have a state climatologist. So there are 49 of us. A majority of those climatologists are at universities, so they're more research-oriented. I have the distinct honor, and I say this with a passion for my job, I get to deal with agriculture, being housed in the Department of Agriculture. So I learn something new every day. Our farmers are very intuitive in terms of what they've planted, when they've planted, and going back 100, 150 years. Yesterday at the State Fair, we had the Century and Heritage Farm Ceremony. It's one of my favorite parts of the fair. You see all these families come in that have been on their lands for decades and centuries. So I learned from them, and being able to couple the agricultural component to the weather and climate side of it only makes it more fascinating for me, but also in the knowledge that I can provide to the citizens of Iowa. So it's we talk about feedbacks a lot in climatology and in atmospheric sciences. This is a positive feedback for me because I get to learn more about agriculture. I get to learn more about how weather impacts agriculture, but also that agriculture tells the story of Iowa, and it tells us our history, and it tells us where we're moving. So it's all those romantic components that you get to put together, which makes this the best job on Earth.
Well, and also I have to say, being the Iowa State climatologist, you're pretty much a celebrity around here.
Well, I thank you for saying that. I just love my job so much. I have a passion for it. I have a passion for the people of Iowa. I have a passion for agriculture. And as I said, this position wraps all of that together. It's the unicorn of positions that I could have had. And I'm just so fortunate to have it. So, yeah, I can't say any more without goosebumps popping up.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bob.
Thanks to Justin Glisson for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.